All right, welcome back.
Mr. Landsman, how we doing?
Good, good. I want to start off with we have our first commercial sponsor of the podcast.
We did it.
Which is very cool. Thank you let me bring it up. Thank you to Laracast, longtime friend, Jeffrey Way. Laracast, I mean, I've been using Laracast for 10 years, literally. If you're not aware what Laracast is, it's the premier kind of place to learn Laravel and really all topics web development. Do just an amazing job with tutorials, Jeffrey and his team over there. So definitely check that out. It's only $19 a month. They actually have the lifetime deal still. I think it's like $3.99 for life, which is what I would do, honestly, and what I have done, and gotten way more than my fair share out of it. So thanks to Jeff for reaching out and Laracast for sponsoring the podcast. Truly appreciate it. If you are interested in sponsoring, definitely let us know on Twitter or you can email us. But yeah, thanks to Laracast. And Aaron, I'm sure you've used Laracast, right?
Ian, come on. Hey, I come know. On. Look at me. Come on.
Were they a mentor of yours, I assume, right?
Yeah, I'm a lifetime member, of course. I purchased many, many, many years ago. And I'm a Laracast instructor. So I've got a course on there.
Oh, wait a minute. What course did you do?
Get out of here. One on Sidecar, that open source library that I wrote. So I think it's like serverless functions or something like that. It's part of the creator series, which he did, which is like people that create libraries. So like I think Jack McDade has a Statimic one. I think Caleb did a Livewire one. And then I did one on Sidecar. So yeah,
there's
I know Laracast.
So much stuff on there now. It's just unbelievable. I mean, they all the JavaScript stuff. Yeah, Livewire, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's way more than Laravel at this point, but he also just released the Laravel 11 huge series that kind of brings you up to speed on all that. So definitely check out Laracast if you haven't. If you're somebody out there who hasn't.
Yeah, definitely. For the four people listening that haven't already bought a lifetime membership, please do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeffrey, for sponsoring us, even though you're sponsoring it to what I'm sure is a Laracast heavy audience.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. And definitely, if you aren't a subscriber, definitely check it out. Helps the show and helps the Laravel community. So thank you, Laracast.
Yes.
All right. We have a little bit of feedback I just wanted to cover, and then you have a lot of stuff to talk about. But
It's kind of an emergency pod because, today's Friday, and we're going to put it out as quickly as we can. And then we got a big one scheduled for Monday, but, the show must go on.
Yeah, we got kind of fell behind a little bit. I was a little under the weather Monday, but we're catching up now. We got an emergency pod. It's all kind of worked out, actually. So
it has. It's good.
Yep. So we do have a lot of feedback too. All of it's not going to make it to the show. Sorry to some of you who wrote in. I will write back to some of you to follow up anyway. But I do have a full few pieces I pulled out here. Andrew Mason had some feedback. I thought this was very appropriate. He's like, hey, we used to talk about Taylor Swift a lot. Taylor Swift, queen of the breakup song. Is Aaron going to do a breakup song? That's what he wants to know. And I don't know. You're going to bust out. You're going to do some singing, some dancing.
I want to keep many of the listeners that we gained through the layoff story. And so I will not be singing here. But instead, and we can talk about this in a little bit, maybe I'll start a breakup company. So maybe that's my version of T-Swift's breakup song.
Not Vengeance DB, I don't think, but something.
No,
something
else. Just regular Vengeance Incorporated. Yeah, right. not a database thing at all. Yeah.
All right. And then we also had a question from Anthony McClowski on just a quick feedback on your sleep stack and how that's going in the chill pad. Is that what it's called? Chili pad.
They pump chili through it. Yeah. Well, I refuse to call it a sleep stack because that's very San Francisco. And I think Anthony knows that because I said that on Twitter. So my sleeping arrangement, my ritual is going great, Ian. It's going amazing.
Wow.
I'm sleeping through the night. I think a lot of that has to do with the chili pad because it is keeping me cold or cool. The younger twins have started sleeping through the night. I've stopped caffeine, past 11, really, and I've cut back drastically on how much I'm drinking at all. Still off the Diet Cokes.
Okay.
And occasionally I'll take some CBD before bed, and it like I feel like all of those things combined have helped me sleep, and I feel so much better.
That's awesome. When your sleep's off, it's so hard. Just every single other aspect of your life gets way worse when the sleep's off.
Everything gets worse. So, feeling better. Highly recommend the chili pad if you're waking up warm or having trouble regulating the temperature in your room. Very, very recommended.
All right. Awesome. We got to address what's behind you here. I mean, you're in the Aaron Francis Studio of Light and Sound. So
I am, yeah.
Looks like you went a different way than what we saw on Twitter a little bit. Uh-huh. On Twitter, you kind of had some shelves and some stuff.
I did,
A little more kind of just some photos and things. So give us the scoop. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm in here. I'm in the apartment studio, which is officially the Aaron Francis Studio of Light and Sound. And so this wall behind me, if you're not watching on YouTube, this is going to be real difficult for you. This wall behind me, there's a window behind that wall. So that's where the false wall is built, which is just crazy. It's so awesome. So stupid and so awesome.
It is. Like, it's one of those things that's totally stupid. It makes no sense, but it's also just amazing awesome. And awesome.
That's kind of my MO.
A little bit of your
shtick, what is stupid and awesome? And I should do that thing to the uttermost.
What can I go over the top with?
Exactly. So IKEA cabinets, IKEA pegboard. And then right now I've just got all that art resting on the cabinets or on the countertop. But I think I'll probably, I'll hang some of it and make it a little more gallery wall-ish, put some books on the countertop. Got my lighting all set up. Got a new camera. So I'm finally as 4K as you are, Ian. The other camera had 4K. I just didn't have it enabled. Now I've got this camera with 4K, and I'm feeling like, God, I got to really visit a dermatologist. This 4K is too high resolution. It's the worst.
A little high in the resolution. Yeah, I don't love it.
I'm like, I got to scoot back. Like, where I need a blur filter on this thing. It's awesome being here. Like, I'm still smoothie guy, so I can just walk out to the kitchen, make my smoothie, walk down to the gym, hit the elliptical and the weights for like 20 minutes and walk back up. Private bathroom, little balcony, I can look over the pool. It's like I'm truly living. It's wonderful. Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It seems like you've gone for a little more of a, is this intentional? Like, the lighting is something different. It's more of a contrast, like a black and white kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's just because of the board. I don't know. There's definitely a different vibe.
Yeah, this is a different vibe for sure. I went, the old studio was very much, or the old room was very much dark. And the background was dark. And there were like some neon lights on it and stuff. And this is very clean, very white, and much, much brighter. And that is that's the aesthetic that I'm going for in here. And I have a different setting. There's some lights back there. I have a different setting that warms up the whole background, so it makes it a lot moodier. But this is like my clean, modern workshop.
You're in the shop.
Working light. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I like it. It's a little different than what other people are doing, which I think is good. Kind of stands out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal. And whether or not I put up, those colored, Govee lights that I had, I don't really know. I might have a scene that looks a lot more like gamery, but now I'm going for like clean professional, not degenerate gamer. So
could switch it up too. Go on your vibe,
Yeah,
like whatever you're feeling.
Exactly. If I ever start streaming myself playing like Factorio or something, I'll put the neon lights back there again. And
then you have to.
Pump the rules, music and it'll be great. So. Yeah, it's good to be here. I feel like I can work here, which is really nice.
Commuting is good and all that?
Commuting is awesome. It's like, from the rent house, it's like 5 minutes. And from the house that we're going to move into soon, it's like 3 minutes, maybe two.
Wow.
And 1 minute of that is getting up into the apartment garage, because those are a nightmare. Right. so it's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
And moving to the new house, timeline? Yeah.
Man, who knows? Who knows for sure, Ian? Right. The carrying costs are just through the roof, aren't they?
Right.
So our lease and the rental is up May 1st, and I think we're going to extend that to June 30th, so we get an extra 2 months. But the new house should be done well before then. It's just a matter of, like, we don't want to super crunch moving, because moving is a nightmare, and moving with four kids is probably a 4x nightmare, maybe all a 40x nightmare.
It's a big nightmare for sure.
Yeah, so they should be done. Cabinets are there, we've picked out countertops, drywall is up, so you know, knowing as much as I know about construction, which is not that much,
is this a new house?
No, it's a full remodel.
Full
downstairs remodel.
Down to the studs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's still a big job.
Right. Still a big job, man. Yeah.
Don't count your chickens until they're hatched. Yeah. Don't get in a couple extra months. Definitely a good idea.
Yeah.
Never know what might pop up there.
No. And man, can you imagine if it came May 1st and they had a new tenant ready to move into the house we're in and we had nowhere to go and it was like...
Yeah.
You had one job. You had one job, and it was make sure your family has housing. So I'm just, I'm going to make sure that that is the case.
Yeah, you don't want to have to go somewhere in between, like all of you, six of you in the studio.
No freaking way. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So I think that's a good call. It's always better to play it safe on these things.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
All right, one more piece of follow-up. Last episode, we talked about Kelsey Hightower, and I couldn't remember where he worked.
Okay.
Got a nice email reminding me that Kelsey Hightower worked at Google. And interesting, I remember Kelsey Hightower, but not Google. And I think that's hopefully that's the case moving forward, as people will remember me and follow me wherever I go. That is the hope. Like we did with Kelsey Hightower, I hope. Yeah.
I do think that is, definitely, I remember the people more than the place they work for these kind of folks. I could barely tell you who Kelsey Hightower is, to be honest with you, and I certainly couldn't tell you where he worked. So, yes, that is excellent follow up there. So last we left, it was interview week. So
we had
interview after interview. It was stacked and packed.
Stacked and packed.
How'd
eight
that
to
go?
10 a day.
An hour? Half an hour? How are you working these?
Half an hour, yeah. SavvyCal really paid for itself here. I ran everything through SavvyCal. So shout out to Derek Reimer and SavvyCal. So I got laid off on a Wednesday. I pushed everybody off until the next week. And so then last week was interview week, and it was also like phone call with friends and advisors week,
get some advice.
So last week I had, I think 39 calls. I looked at my calendar and counted it up. Okay. And I think it was 39 calls.
That's
wild.
It's like awesome, wild. But also terrible at the same time.
Totally awesome. And like super duper encouraging and also terribly exhausting. So I had all these calls, and there were a lot, like, first of all, everyone was incredibly like kind and supportive, and it was just like, it was really kind of like a super encouragement to like do all of these calls. Cause everybody was like, yeah, we know who you are. You're doing great work. We would love for you to do that with us. Like, really? I don't have to like send you a stupid resume or something.
No cover letter, no resume.
Nothing.
Just show up.
Like, hey,
just be
we've
you.
Seen the work you're doing, which maybe that's a takeaway.
Let's tie that back to one of the earliest episodes. And one of the things you talked about and had a great talk on and everything is like, put the work out there. Like, it's such a huge advantage, like, to put the work out there and have people know you and have ins with people and connections, whether it's like, obviously you're exhibiting a somewhat extreme case, but even in a smaller case, it's like, you don't need 40 people to call you. You need two, right? So it's like you make a name for yourself and you're going to get an opportunity when you need one. Like, that's such a huge thing. Or someone to just retweet you at the right moment, or to share you with their group or whatever. It's like just that little push just by putting yourself out there a little bit. So
I looked back when I applied at Tuple, which was a few years ago now. I put together a web page. It's just aaronfrancis.com/tuple, and it's my resume / application. And on there, I just said, hey, Ben, like, here's all the stuff I've done that you can go look at. And I think that's such a cheat code to have work publicly available. So you don't have to be like, I promise I did great stuff at my company that I can't show you, but you have to trust me. Having stuff that's like, hey, look, it's out there. It's been out there for a while. I'm not just doing this for your edification. Like, it's out there. You could go look at it. And if this works, it works.
A little side quest here, as we've been talking about this kind of in personal telegrams with like people hiring. And I know Adam Wathen's been talking about it publicly, but it's like, people, they don't put in the extra effort when they apply for jobs. They don't even read the instructions.
Did you see his tweet that said 90% of people don't follow the instructions?
Really. Well, it's my same experience. Like, they literally don't follow the instructions. And I just instantly discard them. Like, I want a cover letter. They don't send a cover letter. Or they send an obviously just generic cover letter. That's just, I don't even read your resume. I just move on to the next thing. And so, right there, if you just do that little extra work of like a cover letter. So this is just something that's applicable, not internet fancy startup shit, just like generic big co. They almost always want some kind of cover letter or cover email, whatever. Like, just do that. Like, just literally do a good job on that. And that is already a huge step. And then follow any instructions. Already, you're already at like the 5th percentile of like people and what they're doing. And then, I think certainly for jobs you're really interested in, especially at smaller companies, like what you did for Tuple, going that extra step, which is still not a huge step. I mean, this, we'll put a link in the show notes to your page. I mean, it's not like you spent 2 days on this website and stuff's flying all over and it's like Tuple special. Like, this is just like addressed to the founder. Mm-hmm. A nice little paragraph, some links to your shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. It took you probably an hour, whatever. Yes. And that right there is going to make a huge impression. And that was a job you were hired for, we should say, for people who don't know. So it actually worked.
It worked.
And it's great. And that's going to make you stand out.
During the interview process, one of the pieces of feedback I got from Ben was, who is, was the CEO of Tuple. He said that like a bunch of people just DM'd him like 15 different links, and he really appreciated that I put it all together in a nice digestible format for him. And like, you're right. It took me 30 minutes and I just put a very simple page up, but I think it shows that like, hey, I want the job. I thought about this. I thought about what might be easiest for you. And here it is. So,
I mean, it's the core principle of selling anything. Like, the easier it is to buy, the faster and easier it gets bought. And so when you're selling yourself, you want to make yourself easy to buy, and putting all the information in one spot in a digestible format with appropriate explanation, following the rules people want, like, that just makes you easier to hire than the person who's just like, here's all my shit in the DM and like, here's some,
or that's just like, hire me. I would love to work there. It's like, okay. Right. Yeah. And
here's a link to my GitHub with 200 projects in it. Like, how do I know which is the one that you actually want me to like really, the 5 minutes I'm going to give you, like, which is the one you want me to really dig into? Oh, as opposed to like, look through these 200 things you forked over a million years and like, let me figure out which one's actually important. Like, so all those little things.
I think we pushed one of Ian's buttons here.
Yeah, we are. We could do a whole episode on that. Last time I hired, like last year, it's just like, I mean, I was just like throwing shit in the office. It's just like, it's crazy. And like, we had like hundreds of applicants and we really only had like a couple of actual serious people that were even like worth interviewing, to be honest with you. Like, I think I did end up doing like 4 interviews and only a couple were even really good. And we ended up with somebody great. So that's great. But it worked out. But it's still like, man, you go through all this stuff, all these people wasting this little amount. Why even waste your time? Like, why waste your time with this little 5 minutes you're wasting by not following the instructions and doing a poor job? So it's just like, why do I want somebody who's going to do a poor job at presenting themselves to me for a job? That's
Not a good start. $100,000 or more. Foot there. Like,
So, So anyway.
All right.
So you Ian's, went through 30 something interviews.
Yeah.
I got the juice flowing. Were there any that obviously you're not probably going to go into specific people, but like, were there some that stood out more than others? I mean, give us just a little flavor of that week.
I need a little taste. There were definitely some that stood out more than others. And there were some, there were some that were like, this kind of seems interesting, but it's not really like, it's not really my area of expertise and like not really my area that I want to get super into, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so there were several like that where it was like, hey, this person that I'm talking to is great and the company has an awesome reputation, but it's just something that like I can't see myself getting really excited about.
Yeah.
And so there were a few of those. But you know, most of them were basically around the same, like, hey, we kind of want you to come and do the same thing.
Do your thing
at our company. Yeah. Come do your thing. And we actually, Steve and I took a few joint calls together and like, we'd love to have both of you come, like, we want to hire you both right now.
Wow.
Which yeah, is awesome. And like, I would love to keep the band together. Which we are. So
go ahead. Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Before we get all the way to that, were all of these like job offers, full-time job offers, were there people who are like, hey, we just want a contract with you, or mm-hmm, yeah. What was that?
So there were some that were like, hey, we don't have a full-time spot right now, but we would love for you to create content for us. I'm like, mm-hmm. No, that sounds great. Some said, hey, I don't have a job at all for you, but I want like I want to talk. Right. And so that was, you know, that was just nice of people to reach out. You know, many of them were like, we want you full time on the DevEd team or DevRel team, doing the same kind of thing. You know, some people asked me like, what is developer relations? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, it's nice because I could just be totally honest and people, you know, in these interviews and people are like, what's developer relations? No idea. I'm a developer educator and that's what I want to do. I'm like, oh, wow, good answer. I'm like, great, thanks. Because I didn't know the answer to the question you asked.
that's so funny.
Yeah. So there was some stuff like that. Some people were like, some people did like a formal interview and they're like, can you tell me what this word means? Or like this abbreviation, industry abbreviation means.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them was like new SQL, N-E-W SQL. Like, what is new SQL? And I said, I'll be honest, I have no idea what NewSQL is. I know what NoSQL is. Yeah. I don't know what MySQL is. I have no idea what NewSQL is.
Man, we got to invent something like that on this show. We got to invent some words. Yeah, we need some word invention.
I know, we need some shibboleths.
Did you ever find out what...
That's Old Testament. Do you know shibboleth, Ian?
No, I don't think I do. I don't think I do. I'm not as studied as I should be.
This is a great one. So,
okay, give it to us.
All of the biblical scholars out there are going to just cringe as I butcher my way through this. In the Old Testament, mm-hmm. you know, so they're good guys, bad guys, right? You know,
right.
Whoever, you know, Israelites, always the good guys. God's chosen people. So there was this, mm-hmm. there was this point where they were like trying to weed out some spies or whatever from a foreign land, mm-hmm. of course. And obviously. There's a specific word that this people group couldn't say, like couldn't pronounce correctly. And the word was shibboleth. And so that became like the passcode at the city gates was you would have to say the shibboleth. And so now it's become like I'm just going to Google. I love Googling definitions on the show. Shibboleth.
Yeah, give it to us. Yeah.
Here we go.
We love the law.
God, just freaking. I got another one. I got the teetotaler last time. And this time I got shibboleth. Here's shibboleth. A custom, principle, or belief distinguishing a particular class or group of people. Especially a long-standing one regarded as outmoded or no longer important. So you could say like, we have a shibboleth, and that's like, oh, we have a secret code, a secret word, a secret language. And so we need more shibboleths on the show. Wow. So there you go. There's your word study for the day. There's your little bit of biblical history.
Blown away. I have to say, I was I was raised Jewish, but I don't recall them going through this.
You don't remember shibboleth?
No, I don't think I got to that. I don't think we got through that. So now I know.
Let's see if I can give people a reference here. No, not really quickly. Oh, shibboleth
phone up on my
is a
old
single
testament.
single sign-on login system for computer
Of course
networks.
It is. everybody's out of domains. It's like, hey, we're going to mine the Old Testament for domain names that are available.
That's a great one for like an auth company. Yeah. Shibboleth? Yeah. That's amazing. We use some shibboleths.
I dislike everything about that for a company name. I just think it's all
really
it's just all
no good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's
nobody's
not good.
Gonna get it. Nobody has any idea. Yeah, nobody can spell it.
Nobody can spell it.
No.
Nobody can say it. you're bringing this whole religious component in, which has its own can of worms. Like, there's a lot I don't like about that. So don't actually do that if you're a
bootstrap. Yeah, don't do that.
Do that with the VC money. The VC money, you want to take a flyer, that's fine. But with your own money, you don't want to do that.
Okay, you want to get real metal? Here's the actual, here's the passage it comes from in Judges 12. This is this is Old Testament, so it's like, it's wild.
Fire and brimstone stuff here.
Oh, yeah. So it's the Gileadites and yada, yada, yada. The man of Gilead, the man of Gilead said to him,
Rabbi,
are you
so-and-so,
an Ephraimite? And they said, say the word Shibboleth. And he said Shibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. They took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. So, oh, it gets worse. There fell at the time of the Ephraimites 40,000 and 2,000. So, yeah, you got to say Shibboleth right, or you're going to get slewn at the gates of the Jordan. Yeah,
you got to have the secret passcode.
That's so
I'm
metal.
Really looking forward. You know, people wanted us to do a call-in show.
Yeah.
Which we might still do at some point. I think
we should.
Interesting. I'm liking this whole biblical spinoff show where we just go through like Old and New Testament passages. Maybe we get some... the Quran in there, like we just go through with some Buddhism, like we just like we start doing religious angles on things, and that's
I can provide the in-house scholarship on the Bible, but I don't have the other ones covered, so we'll need to have
we
a call-in.
We can bring in specialists. You need to do that because that's how you get the audience, right? We'll have the call-ins. It's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like guests. It's great. Well, yeah, we'll add it to the notes for the call-in show.
Yeah.
So I told her, I said to the interviewer, I don't know what NewSQL is, but have you heard of Shibboleth? Because I know what that word means.
Did you actually say this? Oh, that would have been awesome if you did that.
Oh, it would have been amazing. So the interviews, you know, most of
Hold on. What is NewSQL? Like, inform us. Did you go look it up afterwards?
Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, no clue. Okay. Yeah, no idea. Okay. I think it's something that someone is trying to make happen. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Trying too hard.
I think so. NewSQL.
I'm not buying it.
So, you know, lots of them were just regular phone calls, like with, you know, CEOs or VPs of DevRel or whatever.
Right.
And so they weren't super formal. But yeah, it was great. And I kind of left everyone. At that point, I left everyone by saying like, hey, I'm going to take a whole bunch of calls. And there's a chance that I end up taking no jobs, but I will definitely I'll definitely consider everything. And you know, I did. I think there were a lot of great opportunities, but nothing that really moved me. You know, I think part of me thought I could go and do this same thing again. Like I could go run it back, and probably it would work. But I think my overwhelming feeling was if I ever want to like go on my own and give this thing like the real college try, now is the moment. Like I don't want to miss the window. I don't want to ride the hype over the top. Like I don't want to lose the momentum.
Right.
And I think if I went and worked somewhere, went and worked somewhere like 3 months in, I would be like, man, I could have gone for it. I could have made it. And this is just
agree.
So perfect because it's like, I am the aggrieved party. Like I did my job. I executed my duties faithfully. I think the record will show it was a huge success. And then I got let go. So it's not like, you know, it's not like I'm the bad guy and I became like I weaseled my way into being the face of Planet Scale and then left them high and dry. And now I'm going to contract them for $1 million. Like that would have been clever actually. But I got let go. And so it's like, great. No fault. No fault of my own. Now's the time.
If you took a job, you might actually end up in that spot. Like you take the job, you're unhappy, then you go start your own thing. And it's sort of like that. Now I'm taking this audience and I'm like going over here. Like,
it's sort of like a black eye to be like, hey, I'm going to go take a job and then realize I don't want to do this. But I've already like made a bunch of videos for some new company. And then 3 or 6 months in, I'm like, sorry, that feels bad to me.
And I think you're totally right about momentum. I feel like, I mean, just like from a straight sort of, I don't like the word content. I'm actually very negative on the word content, but from a content perspective, you know, there is momentum. People are interested in your story right now. And like going off into the bowels of some billion dollar companies, like an unsatisfying ending to that story, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, it's a good ending for you and their family, so that would be fine. Like, Aaron's taken care of, great. But like,
but it's bad content, Ian.
I don't need to follow on to that. It's like, yeah, no. Now he's going to do video somewhere else, whatever, who cares? That's fine. And yep. So this is a much more intriguing story that you're gonna apparently go out and try your put your hat into the market.
That's right, apparently. Yeah, I feel like this is the most entertaining option.
Like, it's definitely best for the podcast. I mean, I'll tell you that.
Best for the podcast. And, you know, now that we have a sponsor, we could live for many handfuls of days.
Jeffrey was generous, yeah, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
Jeffrey was generous.
So I think this is the most exciting outcome, the most entertaining outcome, and the one that I feel the best about is not taking full-time work.
And
so that's where I've landed.
Limited energy, you know, it's not, you're not 25 and you're not single or married with no kids. Like,
nope.
So you do have to start being selective. I mean, even when we started the podcast, you were kind of on the like, try everything and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. But I do think there ultimately is a like, you kind of have to narrow down a little bit. And even though I'm sure you're still going to be doing a lot of different things, like, ultimately, like, you can really probably only have one very big thing. Like, sure, you can have a podcast and you can make some personal videos and you could do side stuff like that, but you're not going to be able to like do a bunch of, you're not gonna be able to go work at big corp and also do heavy on your own stuff. I don't think that's that realistic. Like, you
not
could
anymore,
do a little bit of this and that, you know, but like, maybe you could take a consulting gig here and there, but you're not gonna be able to grind consulting gigs every night after work and work and do a good job at all that and everything. Like, it's just too hard. So yeah, so I think this is a, like we talked about before, it's a good time for you to give it a shot. You did your due diligence, it sounds like. There was nothing that bowled you over, but maybe some people you'll work with in the future and somewhere or another.
Yeah, hopefully some people I can go back to. Actually, I've already, you know, emailed everyone. Hopefully these people will be like, yeah, sounds great. Honestly, I have already gotten maybe 4 or 5 emails back from these companies, and every single one of them has been like, I'm really excited for you. That's awesome, and you should do
that's
it.
Great.
We would love to work together.
It's that's like, cool.
Awesome. Best possible outcome.
Right. I don't actually know what you're doing. I know just the highest level of what you're doing, that you're going out
and
you're
vibes, but Ian. We're just vibing. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Just vibes. This is how we like to do it. We like it to be fresh.
Yep.
So why don't you give it to us? What's the plan?
What's the offering? What are we going to market with?
Yes.
So here's the deal. Steve and I, formerly known as Steve the Editor, which is, you know, it's a bit. It's funny. It plays well. Now, producer Steve. He's not producer Steve the Editor. Steve. Yeah, he's not Steve the Editor. I was always pigeonholing him for the sake of humor. Producer Steve. Producer Steve and I are going out on our own together.
Wow. So a partner. We're going out on our own.
Yeah, as a unit.
So
Steve came in town. He lives in Boise, Idaho, with Nathan Berry. I mean, he doesn't live with Nathan Berry, Nathan lives there.
That would be awesome if he actually lived with Nathan.
Yeah, that'd be a story. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You're dropping news, breaking news.
Yeah, he lives in Nathan's back house. So he lives in Boise. He came in town Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of this week. And Steve and I filmed a video. Steve is like, I love video. No, Steve's a video. Steve brought so much gear. He's so deep.
Yeah.
So much gear. And like, I'll show you some, or I'll tweet some, you know, behind the scenes photos of all the lights that he set up.
Right.
Dude would spend like an hour setting up lights, and then we would take a, you know, a 30-second take, and it worked. Like, it's good because it looks amazing.
Right. That extra work always pays off, or usually
it's
pays
so
off.
It's so cool. Like, working with an actual professional, it's
especially
very
in
fun.
Person like that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
To, like, have the physical space set up and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he rented an Airbnb, and we did a lot of the filming there. Like, he, you know, looked for one that looked cool and modern, and then we did a lot of the filming there. We did some filming here at the studio.
So it's going to be like a splash video or that type of thing? Okay.
By the time you're listening to this, dear listener, the video will be out.
Okay.
So go to my Twitter to see it. Aaron D. Francis. The video is, you know, it's the hero's journey, right? So it starts with, I got laid off. And then it goes through me being sad. And so, like, we did a bunch of different shots of, one, I'm walking. At the pool. I'm just going to tell you because everybody hopefully will have seen it at this point, and I think it's hysterical. One, I'm at the pool here at the apartment. I'm at the pool reading Accounting for Dummies. So I'm reading a big book. I'm just, you know, sitting there enjoying that. One shot, I'm in the gym, but I'm sipping an iced coffee and looking at my phone while I'm like very slowly on the elliptical. Yep. One shot, I'm like surrounded by Diet Cokes, watching TV, and then the camera goes behind me and you can see that I'm watching Fast and Furious. And it's just it's hysterical. And there's maybe one or two others that I don't remember. So that's like the first half. And then it turns with like me realizing I should go out on my own. And then it's like the, you know, a monologue. And then at the end,
inspirational.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then at the end, it's like the description of what we're offering. So to that end, what are we offering? So here's the thing. I think there are going to be, two legs to our offering. One is going to be in-house first party courses that we produce and sell. So that's going to be our own product. And I think, you know, that can take the shape of a Laravel Eloquent course, which I will begin working on immediately. Mm-hmm. And lots of ideas for database courses. And so we'll have kind of this in-house brand that's like database education, best database education in the world for developers, not DBAs. That's kind of,
I love how Eloquent ties into that too. So strongly, cause it's just like the whole database stack, so to speak,
exactly.
From like using it in your code down through understanding what the hell you're doing inside the database.
Yep. So I think that's like a real opportunity for us is I do an Eloquent course and then I do a MySQL course and a Postgres course and a SQLite course. Yep. And the developer can come and say like, yeah, I'm a Laravel developer and our driver or our database is Postgres. And so I'm going to buy these two courses together and learn everything I need to know. So staying off of the monthly subscriptions for that, just like, you buy a course and it's yours. You're not expecting updates from us. Because it's, you know, it's databases. And I'm like, I can't be on the hook to produce a new novel piece of like valuable content for you to pay for every week. So
I think that makes sense.
That's the first party in-house stuff that we're going to try to build up as we have time to cushion just the rest of it.
Side note there too, the databases themselves do give you, and Eloquent gives you these opportunities to like relaunch them all the time too, because it's like every year to 2 years, right, it's going to be like big database update in MySQL or Postgres, or big Laravel update that adds a bunch of stuff. And so like that'll give you that, like you could turn it into recurring revenue of a sort, right?
Totally.
By like, hey, we're relaunching the Eloquent course again because it's been 18 months and there's all kinds of new hotness. And you know, even if you give the update for free to existing customers or however you want to work that, but like you're just getting that opportunity to relaunch it all the time, especially since you'll be working on it full time and not just like you did it, but now you got busy and so it just kind of gets dusty. It's like, no, you can like set aside a month and refresh it all and make it all magically new and add the new stuff and then relaunch that whole baby again.
Have a big launch event.
Yeah,
every time Laravel releases a new version, I can have another big launch sale or whatever. Yeah, I think there's a lot of room there. And I think, honestly, even partnering with guest instructors for like Ruby's Active Record. Or Rails's Active Record, or even Prisma. The problem with Prisma and Drizzle, the JS ORMs, is they just change so much that I feel a little hesitant about that.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot. You have a lot to do. So if you kind of cover Laravel, maybe with a guest for Rails, and then you get on database stuff, I mean, that's a year there.
Hopefully enough money and things to worry about. Yeah. So that's the one leg. That's the products for dollars, classic business. The other leg is services for dollars. And so the initial offering here is, actually, it's also twofold, but the initial offering on the consulting side is One, we will come alongside your in-house existing DevEd, DevRel teams, where you're already investing, you know, potentially $1 million a year, and your videos right. are not just simply not working.
Yeah.
So we'll do, you know, we'll do an audit, and then there will be, you know, some sort of ongoing retainer of like, let's make your videos work better. And that starts from coming up with ideas to framing the ideas to recording to editing to packaging to releasing all the way through. So instead of like me being the on-camera person, you have an on-camera person, and we work behind the scenes with that person to make them more effective.
Yep.
And then the enterprise offering is you want us to make a whole entire course for you with me being on camera. Great. Contact sales. Let's do that.
Right.
And that starts at not insignificant amounts of money.
right. Yeah. Cause if we assume that these courses will do at least okay, mm-hmm. then this consulting stuff is like fighting for your time there to some degree.
Yes.
So like, I do mm-hmm. think, I really like these consulting offerings. I feel like these are the like high level we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's yep. like, mm-hmm. don't get down in the trenches. And if they're going to put you down in the trenches, that's actually maybe even more money, right? Because it's like not yes. just you coming up with the big idea. It's like you executing the idea, which mm-hmm. now is all that extra work and yep. and everything. So I think that makes a ton of sense. And I think you could also position that as even if it's like the big series to kick off your content marketing or something like that, yeah. right? It's like, even if it's like, yeah, we're going to do 10 videos or whatever the right number is, and you're going to stretch that out over 3 months or 6 months, and it's going to like lead to XYZ and like get you started, and don't start from zero or things like that. Let the experts kind of get it going. And yeah, mm-hmm. so I like that. You could even have your own on-air talent at some point too, I could imagine, you know, if that gets, you know, mm-hmm. popular and there's enough companies looking to do it. It's like, it doesn't have to all be you even, and you can still sell it if you can find yep. the talent. So
yep, I think that's exactly right. And I'll be curious, like, this is what I just pitched you is hopefully the worst version of this that it will ever be. And so, you know, we've already had several people like reply and say, hey, would love to be your first client, let's talk. And so those conversations right. are going to tell us, what does the market actually want? And it could end up being that the market actually just really wants high quality editing. And it's like, mm-hmm. all right, well, that's way different than what we thought. And if it is sustainable, maybe we do that. Or they may want something else that's not even on our radar, but they come to us and are like, this is actually our burning problem. Like, great, yeah. we can do that. So I think this is a well-informed starting position based on all the conversations we've had with people. It's like, this is what they need. And they're kind of like beating down the door, frankly, to get us to help them. And it feels so different. It feels so different from when like, I spent, you know, 1,000 years trying to do this SaaS thing, and like everybody was like, I don't get it, man. And now, now these CEOs are literally like, hey, congrats. I love that you're going on your own. Can we talk next week about being your first client?
Can I throw it's some like, money at you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is what it feels like, huh? So I think it's going to be good.
I like it. And I definitely, my advice from what you said, I like everything. The only thing I would say be cautious about is I actually mm-hmm. don't love that idea of if they push you down into like, you're just editing. I think that's a bad route. Like,
yeah, it feels that's like low value, you right? into
like, yeah, like you're not, the value add there is mm-hmm. ultimately low, even though Steve is obviously a high end editor and compared to who you're going to get on other
that's
people.
That's the thing. We would have to hire other editors. Right.
So you get into that. Like, so I do feel like, there's so much more value farther up the chain mm-hmm. and you have all these leads already. It's like, don't go down the chain unless you really need to, or unless it's like the add on to like, yes, like you're paying us big number X.
Yes.
Part of that is of course for smaller number Y, we can edit this all for you and whatever. And mm-hmm. that's all great. Like that makes it all in one service. Right. And that's awesome. But
I think just like stay away from like, I've actually seen some like,
type stuff.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, Design Joy, the guy that everybody hates, the guy that's doing $1 million. So
like everybody thinks he's lying, but it's not clear like if he is lying or not. I don't know if he is.
Who knows if he's lying? Turns out he's just kind of mean regardless. So Yeah, so I've seen some like video editing done in a Design Joy way, where it's like, you know, you pay $5,000 a month and you get unlimited edits, but only one at a time and with 48-hour turnaround. And that just feels like, that feels to me like a race to the bottom.
Right.
And not something I super want to be a part of. And also, like you said, the lowest possible value offering coming in after the fact, after the content has been decided, after the positioning has been decided, after the recording is done, and saying like, all right, I can edit this, but it's going to suck still because the framing is all wrong, or, you know, whatever. Right. So
I'll try to stay away from that point. It's hard to fix if it's ill-conceived to begin with, the editing's not going to fix that. So, I think this sounds awesome. I mean, it's a lot even as it is, because I can imagine you guys just going just on the courses end, right? And going hard on just that for a year and without the consulting end. But I totally see the value in the consulting end. And I think that's also great, especially if, like, you know, these first couple, you do a really great job and have like that showpiece for like other people to then build on, that you can do this, you know, just prove that you can execute this outside of kind of the one company, right? Is, I think, a big thing and will be important. Think you nailed it. I mean, this all makes so much sense. We didn't talk about screencasting, but you have screencasting.com. Obviously,
so can be a base layer. There, yeah, that's like the, I think that's like the fully down market version of our consulting offering. Right. So you come to the consulting site and it's like, starts at some obscene number and you're like, oh shoot, well, I'm an individual. Well, if you're an individual, we'll funnel you off to screencasting where you can do a self-paced course on how to make good video. So I think it all of the vectors are coming together, and I think it'll make a nice neat package of, we can serve you from individual level all the way up to public company level, just based on, you know, what you need.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to watch, like, which parts take off, which parts you have trouble with, like, which parts, or is it all just going gangbusters? And that's its own problem as well. So it's going to be you and Steve, it sounds like, Steve, as an official, formalized company partnership. Anybody else to start, you're thinking, or do you have anybody else in mind? You're going to start just you two?
Just going to start with us two.
Which I think makes sense.
And yeah, it's going to be like the division of responsibilities, I think, is going to be pretty nice, because Steve has a lot of experience in the, like, all right, let's negotiate a contract for video stuff. Like, he's been, he could do that in his sleep. And, you know, I'll talk to Steve and I'm like, hey, maybe we should, you know, start this offering at $X,000. And he's like, no, we should double it. I'm like, great. That's why
I like Steve. That's
why you're contract guy, Steve. And
you're the marketing, he's sales. I like that makes sense. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's nice because he's working on the website right now. He's a developer too. And so he's setting up the website. I think it could end up being that Steve handles some of these strategy calls by himself while I work on courses behind the scenes. And so there could be a nice division of responsibility there. That's why I'm like real excited to do it with Steve instead of on my own, because he's extremely talented in many different areas. And like, should we in a few years stumble across some SaaS idea that serves our existing business, he could do that too. So it's like, there are infinitely many options, and we just need to figure out what does the market want and how do we fulfill it.
And is he going to be full time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
We're both doing the thing.
I love it.
We're doing it for real.
Yeah, I love having a partner. I know people get down on partners. I just think it's really beneficial if you can find the right partner. Because just like that division of labor, you just get so much more done. Or you're having a down period, they're up, they're down, you're up. Or you're both firing on all cylinders and twice as much is getting done, or four times as much is getting done sometimes. So it's very, very nice when you can find the right person. And since you guys have worked together, it's even nicer because mm-hmm. you at least know you get along and yep. you have a reasonable working relationship, at least. Obviously, mm-hmm. this will be different and strain it in different ways, I'm sure. But ultimately, you at least have that a little bit of prior experience there in history. Yep. So.
Yeah. And this past weekend when he came in town, it was the first time we'd, you know, ever met in person. We spent hours on Zoom calls, but we never met in person.
Crazy.
It's awesome. It's great. He's way taller than I expected. He's 6'5".
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I would not have guessed that. Yes.
I know. And he told me that I'm taller than he expected. And I was like, man, do I have short guy energy? Like, that's too bad. I don't want to be a little guy on the internet. But yeah, he's fully 6'5". It's
how
crazy.
Tall are you? You're like my height, right? Are you like 6'4"?
I'm 6'1" and a half, depending really on, you know, depending on who I need to be. Oh, you thought I was taller?
I think you're big guy energy. Yeah, I thought you were taller.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I've met you in person. I thought you were taller. You came off taller in person.
All right, so. That's great. How tall are you?
Yeah, 6'4".
6'4", wow. Yeah. Maybe I should wear lifts. Should I wear lifts?
You should get 6'6", yeah, why not? Yeah. Just like big 70s
six,
disco.
If people might catch on to that, maybe 6'2.5". I could do 6'2.5" with some boots that have a nice heel on it.
Cowboy boots? Yeah, you got Dallas. You could do cowboy boots.
I don't have cowboy boots. You don't know me at all. I don't have cowboy boots. What are you talking about?
How about a cowboy hat?
What? I don't have a cowboy hat. What am I going to do with
a
cowboy hat?
What the hell is the point of living in Dallas?
A cowboy? Do you know what Dallas is? Dallas is a major
Texas
metroplex. Yeah, it's not
care.
Fort Worth.
You still have a
though.
Cowboy hat?
I don't have a cowboy hat.
Wow, this is ridiculous. I don't like anything about
this.
This
is not
this whole
ridiculous.
Conversation has taken a terrible turn.
Steve actually, Steve came over for dinner, and when he came over, he met Jennifer, and at that point, he was like, "I really thought y'all were gonna have like accents. I thought y'all were gonna have real full on accents."
Right.
Nah, not really.
You have a little, but you don't have like a heavy accent. Yeah, it's not.
I don't have an East Texas accent. That's where it gets real bad.
Okay.
I could go for a little more Matthew McConaughey accent. Like, that's cool.
Yeah,
I could dig that.
You should lean into that a little bit. Yeah.
I know. I need like a dialect coach or something. Right. So I'll look into that later. That's a good use of money right now, getting a dialect coach while I'm unemployed.
You're on air talent. You need these things.
Here's the plan. We're launching the video today. And so right after we get off this call, the video is going to be launched. And the hook is I got laid off and here's what I'm doing next. And so we're going to put it on Twitter, going to put it on a new YouTube channel. The call to action is going to be like, get in touch. Just send us an email. We have a website. The name of the studio, so the name of like everything that we're doing, is called Try Hard Studios.
Okay, I like
that. Yeah. So
I like that.
Yep. So tryhardstudios.com, and the plan is to just launch this video and then see what happens. I mean, we already have a call set up to do consulting with a company that wanted to hire both of us, but hopefully
one
we get more of those calls set up. Yeah. Hopefully we get more of those calls set up and just kind of like figure it out. That's all I got.
Man, you're going to have to come up with like processes for that too. You know, I could see there being a lot of work around like formalizing these engagements and what are the actual steps you want to go through when doing these things and all that stuff. And that'll be like material you have to create and things over time. So it sounds like you're going to start with the consulting end as like the first push.
Yeah.
Which
so
I think makes sense.
I think like the first several weeks, I will primarily be researching and producing this Eloquent course. Hopefully Steve is like fielding calls and figuring out what people want and need, and how we offer that. So the hope is that we can get this course done and launched relatively quickly and get like our big influx of company cash. Like we both, you know, individually
founding,
have runways, but it would be nice
money.
To have like, exactly. Yeah. It would be nice to do a fundraise from our customers buying a course, basically.
I like that.
Yeah.
I am a little surprised about a new YouTube channel rather than like utilizing your YouTube channel. What's your thinking there? I get the general idea, but at the same time, you have a big YouTube channel. Like
I do, yeah. Which we will continue to use. So the YouTube channel that I have will continue to host developer content. So I will continue to make videos. I'll just now do it with Steve, with Steve's support. And so the things that are, you know, that is being rolled in to this company. And then the new YouTube channel is basically, it's more of like a lifestyle behind the scenes, make a video when we can or want to, like talking about everything else. So what I don't want to do, because I would get penalized for it, is mix the messages on my personal channel.
Okay.
So personal will remain fully development, and the We Try Hard
getting
channel.
Getting the insights here.
Yeah.
The algo. This is all about the algo.
That's exactly right. So the new We Try Hard channel is going to be much more like a creator channel, where we talk about building a business and making videos and stuff like that. And that's probably like, you know, fourth or fifth or sixth on the list of things that's important. Right. But it's a good outlet to have, you know,
so you're
that
still
kind
of
content.
Viewing your personal channel, I would assume, as like one of the primary marketing channels. Mm-hmm. But it's just, then you'll have this other channel for marketing, but also other stuff. It might not be as big as your personal channel for some time, presumably. But, okay.
Yep.
What do you think? Give me your top couple fears or challenges, or however you want to approach that question.
Claustrophobia has got to be number one.
Ooh, claustrophobia.
Hate tight spaces, yeah. Are you talking specifically about the upcoming business change, or just in general?
I was thinking about the business, but if you want to give us your general fears.
Okay, that makes way more sense. So past claustrophobia, I think... I don't think we're going to have trouble generating an initial interest. And so that's like a huge leg up, honestly, that we can have people to talk to. I think one of my fears is figuring or not being able to figure out how to transmute the value to these companies.
Yeah.
So like the proof is going to be in the pudding. If we can come in and make your on-air talent 10 times more effective, I'm going to feel great about that. And I really think we can do it. But there is a fear that we're going to not be able to like figure out what the offering is. And then I think the second one is maybe not in any order. Another one is not getting any money whatsoever. And I think that's like a small likelihood. I mean, between... We could probably go full on courses and live. And so, but there is a small part of me that's like, you're really out over your skis, and you better not fall. So that's definitely one.
Or if like the consulting gigs don't ultimately, you can't charge as much as you might hope.
Right.
Then that might be a little bit of a setback in how valuable that end of the business might end up being and things like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think those are probably my big ones. What else should I be afraid of?
I think solid fears.
Good fears,
how's Jennifer?
Great fears.
And I don't know if Steve married. How's his wife? If he has wife?
No, Steve is not married.
Okay.
So Jennifer is incredibly trusting and supportive.
Nice.
You know, she the whole time has supported me in thinking about this, and we talked about it a lot, and is now supporting me in the actual final like decision that we're going to do this. You know, she is just basically trusting me to provide. And she's, of course, you know, done some slight due diligence with me on our finances and how long we can live. But really, the ball is in my court to provide. So she's excited for me. I mean, she knows, I think she knows what everyone else knows, that I've like wanted to do this and like wanted to try this. And so she's excited. She's excited for me, and I think she's excited that I'm excited. Which is a nice thing to have in a spouse.
It's usually important to have the supporting spouse.
Nice to like actually have somebody on your team. That's kind of a big deal, turns out. So I'm glad to have that.
was huge for UserScape when we started. Jamie was totally on board with it, and she was, we always jokingly referred to her as the sugar mama because she was working and paying the bills while we sold our car, and like we took rather extreme measures. We didn't have as much in the bank, and so it was like really out there. And couldn't have definitely done it without her support and belief and all that. So it's so important to have that. I don't know, anything else to cover, or should we leave it there? We're at an hour even.
Let's see. I think that's about it. Let me see. I don't think there's anything else.
So video's out today.
Video's out in
work
a few minutes.
Starting soon.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll get the updates. But I imagine there'll be stuff. You'll be posting stuff publicly fairly often as
for
we
sure.
go here too.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting to watch.
Yep. And we'll cover it all here on the pod. So if you have any questions, write in and let us know. I think the last thing I'm super excited about is just like the freedom to just not do whatever I want, but like be fully into it. Like there's always this tension, and I think it's a healthy tension when you have a full-time job, to not basically post about your own stuff during the day. Right.
Right.
Cause you want to, you don't want to like,
a bad
you don't want to
a little
yeah,
bit,
you know, it's noon on a Tuesday and you're like launching a new course that is not a part of your job. It's like, this feels a little weird. And so now I'm excited to be like, hey, look, it's the middle of the workday, and look what I'm working on. And it's not like in a conflict of interest. So I'm super excited for that. So the posting will continue until morale improves. So y'all brace yourselves. The hype is not over, by the way. The hype is not
That's
over.
That's good.
The
hype we love
all, we've
everybody
only
loves
just
hype.
Begun to hype.
Great. This is where I've never been good at this. Partially, I think, because of the market I'm in doesn't really lend itself to it, but great hype is very interesting and intriguing to watch. Like people love great hype. So like the ability to hype something, people love that. Like if it's done, I think, you know, people have different takes on it. Some people are very sort of like the base camp. You're all fucking idiots. This is the right way you should be doing stuff, right? Like that's their take on
the
world.
Manifesto,
Yeah, like your take on the world is like the very positive. Like here's the kind of change I'm trying to bring about, and like what I'm trying to do, and follow along with me, and like we can all rise these boats together. Like all that, kind, you know, when people obviously like that too. So I think that's all really cool. Definitely looking forward to the hype videos and tweets and everything as it goes, watching all the new channels sprout up, the new Twitter channel and all those things.
There's gonna be so much content. Y'all are gonna hate it. It's gonna be awesome.
One of the things working for yourself too that you really have to take advantage of, this is like hard to do at the beginning, but I think you should really try to make time, is like to just like you could just take a day off. Like you can take a day off, or you could take the day off and work at night a little bit or whatever. Yep. Like, and because even now I feel like, man, I wish I'd taken more days off. And even, and when I look back, I mean, listen, we went to Europe for 3 months and like we did all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I've done a lot and I feel good about it. But like give yourself that permission to be like, hey, I'm going to go hang out at the pool for the morning with the kids or whatever. And like, especially with the business you guys are designing, for the most part, you're not going to have like that much
emergencies.
It's like, emergency or I have to be somewhere at 10 a.m. Like I'm sure you'll have some calls and things where yes, you have a meeting with a client and yes, for that hour you're going to be busy or a couple hours, whatever, but that's still not going to be your whole week. It's going to be you know, once or twice a week you have a call like that maybe or whatever. So you know, that is one of the upsides of working for yourself, is you can do some different things or take the kids somewhere when everybody else is not there. I mean, that this is literally like the biggest benefit, is like we're gonna go to Disney, you know, in February when nobody's there in the middle of the week or whatever, as opposed to like where they're in summer, it's 200 degrees, everybody in the world's here and we're packed in here like sardines. Like, so you can take advantage of those things, which is really, to me, is one of the best parts of it all, when you have a family and your own business. So
yeah,
try to keep an eye out for those things.
Yeah, well, the thing I'm already The thing I've already put on that list is Dune in 70mm. Like, I need to go. I need to go yeah. see it while it's still in IMAX.
Yeah, I do want to do that too. I think it would be awesome, and I think it would be like significantly better in IMAX actually than the theater I saw it in. We don't have good theaters here, so like it was the biggest screen in my theater, but it was not sufficiently overwhelming, I don't think, for the like huge sandworm.
You want your chest to rattle. Yeah,
that's what I think is the optimal viewing experience. So I would I'm trying to see if I can get down to the city to do that as well. But yeah, exactly, stuff like that. Like, bam, you're gonna go take 3 hours and drink a Diet Coke or
drink,
a water
drink
or
as many
seltzer.
Diet Cokes as I can.
that's
so
a diet,
I'll leave us,
Diet Coke free.
I'll leave us with another 30 Rock anecdote because you know we have to. You were saying you look back and you like said I wish I took more days off or something. In one episode, Jack Donaghy has a heart attack and he comes back to work and he tells Liz Lemon, he says, you know, I was laying there dying and all I could think was I wish I had worked more. And I thought that is just like the funny, it's just
so
perfect Jack Donaghy. On my deathbed, I was thinking, I wish I had worked more.
Oh my gosh, that's really good.
So there you go.
All right, that's the perfect place to leave it. Watch 30 Rock. All right, follow us, mostlytechnical.com, mostlytechpod on Twitter, and email into mostlytechnicalpodcast@gmail.com. We are starting to get a lot in there. They all get read. They don't all get responded to on air, but we will try our best. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be following along with Aaron over the next couple of months. It's going to be super interesting. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
See y'all. Later.